Welcome everyone to the Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Boone, the lead fantasy analyst at the Score. Glad to have you riding along with us today. I'm coming at you one day later than I'd hoped to get this episode out, but those 2024 redraft rankings, they took me a lot longer than expected. I mean, I should probably expect it by now though, because that first update after the draft, it's always a massive one. The good news is I've updated the Dynasty rookie rankings. I've updated the Dynasty trade value charts. Those are the ones with the veterans and the future picks and all that sort of stuff. And I have updated those redraft rankings now, so you can use those to start getting ready for your leagues or as a starting point if you're doing best ball. On top of that, on Tuesday, I went over how to approach the first two rounds of your Dynasty rookie drafts. I broke it all down into tiers and let you know what I'm thinking about those guys. And that brings us to today, where I'm going to go through my favorite rookies to target in the later rounds. And I'm going to lean towards the later rounds of Dynasty rookie drafts, but a lot of these guys are going to be players that you're going to want to scoop up and throw at the end of your redraft benches as well. And we're focusing on players outside of my top 24 rookies, so guys who should be available in rounds three or later in your rookie drafts. And I do want to start with a few names that I've seen slip into the third rounds in some rookie drafts that I've been in, but they're players who I talked about on Tuesday as second round value, so I'm not going to spend much time on them. But Marshawn Lloyd, Blake Corum, A.D. Mitchell, Jalen Polk, Jermaine Burton, Jalen Wright would be another one. I'm not going to go over them in depth here. Just know that if they're available at the top of the third round, you are immediately drafting them. And yes, Wright was a day three running back. I'm going to talk about day three running backs in a second. But the Dolphins traded a 2025 third round pick to get Wright. So that gives them a little added juice on top of just being in Miami's backfield, which we know can produce big time fantasy numbers. All right, those guys aren't going to count towards the players in the title. I just wanted to mention them in case they do fall in your drafts. So now we can look at guys that I'm targeting in rounds three to round six if your rookie draft goes that far. If not, then you're going to be looking at them as guys that you might want to pick up off the waiver wire post-draft. And we'll start with my third round values. These are guys that have pretty clear paths to producing, maybe even this season. And the first is Ben Sinnott. On an obvious one, some people might even view him as a second round value in rookie drafts. I'm happy to take him in the third where he normally goes. He got excellent draft capital in round two. He lands in Cliff Kingsbury's offense, and that's been very tight end friendly in the past, going back to Arizona. And Sinnott, he just needs to beat out a 33-year-old Zach Ertz, who turns 34 in November. And Ertz hasn't really done much the last 2 years. He's dealt with injuries and just general decline. So Sinnott could win that job in camp, but at worst, I think he overtakes Ertz during the year. And with Jahan Dotson, he's really been failing to live up to the expectations, at least last season. And Luke McCaffrey, who they drafted this year in the third round, more of a third wideout or a depth piece, in my opinion. So Sinnott could turn into the second option in that passing game. I really like him a lot. Javon Baker, the receiver, he goes to the Patriots. And you have to love the way that he's taken it personal that he went on day three. He goes in round four, 110th overall. I think he was the 18th receiver taken, but outright, he says after that, that there is no way that there are 10 rookie receivers better than me. And that might be true. I was a big fan of him in the pre-draft process. I had him ranked as a late second round rookie value in the months before the draft. Now I'm taking him in the third all day because there is an opportunity in New England for him. Normally, I would shy away from a day three receiver, but Baker's going to get a chance here to rise this depth chart in the summer. You have Kendrick Bourne coming off a serious knee injury. Juju Smith-Schuster kind of turned into dust in front of our eyes. You know, the knee injuries have really sapped his effectiveness. KJ Osborne, who they brought in this year as a free agent, he's going into year five in the NFL, and he's never topped 700 receiving yards. I doubt that he's going to do that now in New England. So this sets up pretty nicely for the Pats to have a three receiver set with Jalen Polk, the other rookie there who they took early in the second round, then Demario Douglas or Pop Douglas, whatever you want to call him. He's the volume guy in the slot. And then if Baker can back up that big talk, he could be the other guy on the outside. And Baker has the ceiling to be the number one option in this offense. I don't think that's likely. I see Polk as the more talented player, so I would put my chips on him or on the Pats drafting or signing somebody else to fill that role next offseason. But Baker's going to have a chance to carve out a big role, and you might be getting him at a really good discount right now because everybody is down on that New England passing game, which is fair, but there's also some new blood there, right? You have to acknowledge that. There's new coaches, there's new quarterbacks, there's new weapons. So don't go crazy and overpay for Baker, but in the third, he is a solid pick. Ray Davis going to the Bills in round four, he's another one. Now, here's where I want to lay out my thought process for most of these day three rookies, because overall, betting on day three players in fantasy, it's a long shot. And we remember the hits. We forget about all those constant misses from the skill positions when you're thinking about the guys that were taken from rounds four to round seven each year. So you have to keep your expectations in check. QBs, this is rarely a range where you're going to find any value, really anything outside of the first round for quarterbacks. It's tough to find a guy that's going to hit in fantasy. For every Brock Purdy, there's 100 passers who are just backups or who didn't even hang in the league and ended up maybe in a different league, ended up in the CFL or something like that. Day three tight ends, they can sometimes hit, but it's likely going to take longer to return value for them. So you have to be willing to sit on them and wait for them to actually give you something and develop a little bit in the pros. And that means during that time, you're burning a roster spot, and that roster spot could be used on churning and getting waiver wire pickups and trying to find a guy that way who could produce for your team. So you have to factor that in. There's a cost to putting that roster spot aside for one of these tight ends or for really any player who you think isn't going to produce for a season or two. So you have to think about that when you're looking at it. Unless you can stash them on a taxi squad, then that sort of changes the game a little bit. Day three wide receivers, they are very risky bets to be difference makers in fantasy. You know, if somebody goes in round four, I'm a little more forgiving, but it's still a sign about how the NFL felt about them, right? That's the problem, because when you don't have the draft capital behind your name, it's a lot easier for teams to just bury you on the depth chart or even cut you entirely. So you got to be wary of day three wideouts and kind of pick your spots where you're going to draft them, unless they have a real path to starting early, like Baker, who I just talked about. And I'll mention a couple more day three wideouts coming up too. And that's why I often end up using my later round rookie picks on running backs, because if they can earn a roster spot, we see injuries occur all the time and open up playing time for those guys, sometimes even open up a starting role for at least a little stretch, right? Or for a game here and there. And we're all about chasing that potential volume, but just know that even those day three running backs, they're not great bets for fantasy. So normally you're just hoping for spot starts, and you could tell yourself a tale about them becoming the starter. And yeah, sometimes that becomes true, but it's not very often. So for me, I'm looking for day three running backs who I can envision a realistic path to them actually becoming the number two on the depth chart. And that brings us to the other round three values that I have on my list. Ray Davis on the Bills, who I said his name a second ago. He's an older rookie, but once again, I'm not expecting him to become a full-time starter. Buffalo has James Cook. However, they don't have Latavius Murray. They don't have Leonard Fournette anymore. Not that Fournette really did that much, but Davis can be that power option behind Cook. I love that fit for him. And if Cook goes down with an injury, Davis could step in. So that's a really nice scenario for a rookie back like him. And I've mentioned this before on the show, but the Score's top NFL draft analyst, Dan Wilkins, he had Davis as his number two back in the class. I had him a little bit lower, but Wilkins was much higher on him than most. So Davis is someone who I think could give you flex value as a rookie, and he'll be an injury away guy in year one behind Cook. Next up, Kamani Vidal. He went to the Chargers in the sixth round. Very quick, athletic back. He has the kind of traits that you're looking for in one of these late round gems. And he goes to a team in the Chargers who we expect them to run more under Jim Harbaugh and Greg Roman. They have Gus Edwards, who they added this offseason. He's a good power option, but he's not a star back by any means. They added J.K. Dobbins as well, who I know people loved him coming out. Seemed like he was going to have a decent NFL career, but he's dealt with a bunch of injuries, including a torn Achilles last September. So Dobbins, even if he tells you that he's recovered, he might be to some extent, but can he regain that past form? And can he regain it a year after tearing his Achilles? History tells us that no, he will not be able to do that. The only backs who've returned to have really even decent NFL careers, it took them a couple seasons post-injury before they got there. So you can easily tell yourself a story about Vidal emerging as the number two back in this offense, maybe even the number one back at some point, kind of like Isaiah Pacheco did with the Chiefs. And that's made Vidal one of the hottest risers in fantasy and somebody that you're going to have to take in the third round now in most dynasty rookie drafts if you're hoping to get him at all, because his value is just skyrocketing. And it's a similar story for Tyrone Tracy Jr., who went to the Giants. Good size, good speed and agility, has the background as a receiver, so we like that. Gives him a chance to be a potential third down back if he hits. And he goes to New York, where they have my guy Devin Singletary, always underrated, but not much else on the depth chart. Eric Gray is there from last year. That's about it. I mean, Deion Jackson, he's a bit of a journeyman at this point. So Tracy's going to battle Gray for that number two job. And if Tracy can prove himself, he could push Singletary eventually. Once again, it's a long shot, but those are the kind of shots that you're taking in the third round and beyond in these dynasty rookie drafts. And I have one more receiver that I do like in this range. That's Jalen McMillan. He went to the Buccaneers near the end of the third round, so a day two guy. He could be the long-term replacement for Chris Godwin. And the day two draft capital, it does make me a little more intrigued, even though he might have to spend a season kind of buried in the pecking order behind Godwin and Mike Evans and Rashad White. Rashad White caught a ton of passes out of the backfield, of course. And Kate Otten, even at tight end, he's shown some signs of life that he could be a good pass catching option as well, but McMillan should be on your radar at the end of the third round. Now we move to the fourth round values, and this is the range where it does start to get ugly most years. This year is no exception, so I'm mostly focused on running backs here. I'm not overly optimistic about this group, but still my attention is mostly on the running backs, and that means Braylon Allen, Will Shipley, Bucky Irving, Audric Estime, Isaac Garendo. Those are my targets in this range. Allen should emerge as the Jets' number two back behind Breece Hall, so he's just an injury away guy, but he's also so young. He just turned 20 in January, meaning there is a lot more room for development in his game. Not a threat to Breece Hall in any way, shape, or form, though. I'm not worried about that. Just an injury away guy. Shipley, a solid pass catcher, and he's a solid pass catcher now on a team that doesn't really throw the ball a ton to their backs. Maybe that changes a bit with Saquon Barkley there now, but he's got a shot to supplant Kenneth Gainwell as the number two for the Eagles behind Barkley. That coaching staff, they love Gainwell. It's not going to be easy for him to overtake him, but Shipley's someone that I was drawn to in the pre-draft process. So I like that if he does get an opportunity in Philly behind a good offensive line in a quality offense, he could produce there. Bucky Irving, I didn't love him as much as a prospect, but he should overtake Chase Edmonds as the Buccaneers' number two back behind Rashad White. Audric Estime, he joined a crowded Broncos backfield, but he's another young rookie here. He brings a power element to that Denver backfield that's going to be very welcome. You have Javonte Williams not looking like the same player post-knee injury. Jaleel McLaughlin, he's a speedy pass catcher type. He struggles in pass pro, though. There's a role here for Estime if he can win it, and I've seen some people even speculate that he could be the long-term starter. I doubt that, but if he can beat out Samaje Perine, he could be the number two there, with McLaughlin kind of playing a different role, right, as that speedy pass catcher. And then Garendo, this is purely a bet on a size speed freak who's going to the 49ers rushing attack. And Elijah Mitchell, he's had his injury woes. Jordan Mason is a solid, but I wouldn't say spectacular backup. Garendo could be that next lightning fast Niners runner who just gets an opportunity and pops in this offense. And Christian McCaffrey, he's getting older. I don't even want to put that out there. I would hate to see him get hurt. But remember, before CMC got there, we had a bunch of guys produce in this offense, and someone would get hurt and then somebody else would step up. Garendo could too if he gets that opportunity, but he is far from a sure thing. Now that's it for the fourth round values. Like I said before, I'm not expecting much from the quarterbacks that are left. So even if you're in super flex leagues, I don't want to spend high draft capital on any of those guys outside of the top six that we talked about on Tuesday's show. I'm not a Spencer Rattler guy, not as a fifth round NFL pick. You know, the league told us what they think about him by waiting that long to draft him. I will say, if you need help at tight end, though, if you're willing to wait, of course, guys like Theo Johnson on the Giants, Cade Stover on the Texans, Eric All on the Bengals, those would be guys that I would scoop up and stash. All has a very intriguing ceiling, but he's coming off an ACL tear last year. Johnson, he's going to compete with Daniel Bellinger for the Giants starting job. That's assuming that Darren Waller retires, which seems like that's the way things are going right now based on all the reports that I've seen. And then Stover, he's going to be behind Dalton Schultz for now in Houston, but he could be the long-term starter there. And we know anybody attached to CJ Stroud, we are going to want to have pieces of that offense. After that, we're talking about just pure prayer picks. So it really doesn't matter the round value. You're just taking guys that you like, guys that you think could have some upside. And a lot of rookie drafts don't even go past the fourth round, like I was kind of mentioning earlier. So these might be waiver wire stashes and deep bench leagues that I'm getting to now. But I'll give you a few names. Some running backs: Rasheen Ali, fifth round pick. He went to the Ravens. Kind of unclear picture in that backfield behind Derrick Henry. And given Henry's age and the Ravens' success running the ball, we want to be in on this backfield behind Henry as well. So monitor Keaton Mitchell's recovery from that torn ACL. Let's see how he's doing entering the season. Maybe the answer is going to be Justice Hill until Mitchell's ready, but Rasheen Ali, he is going to have a shot to earn a spot there. Dylan Lobby, I mean, the sixth rounder for the Raiders, another depth chart that could crumble pretty quickly, right? Zamir White, he's going to be the workhorse, not exactly proven. What happens if he gets hurt? You have Alexander Mattison, who they signed this offseason. He faltered last year when he got an opportunity. Is he going to be able to come through even if an injury thrusts him back into a starting role? And Lobby, he could sneak in and earn a role as a pass catcher right away potentially, and maybe eventually become the number two guy. So he's somebody to consider late. Juwan Jordan, he's another, I mean, a sixth rounder going to the Texans in an offense that, yeah, they already have Joe Mixon and they have Damian Pierce, but Pierce really seemed out of place in this offense last year. I don't know if his skill set really matches up with what they're doing. They're saying that he's going to have a role this season. I wonder if that's just Houston trying to create a trade market, and it would be a small trade, of course, but just trying to get somebody else interested in taking him off their hands. Either way, Jordan could be one injury away from being a backup in an outstanding offense, and offensive coordinator Bobby Slowick, he can get the most out of his backs normally, so Jordan is an end-of-the-bench stash there. If you're looking for a Hail Mary at receiver, which I don't normally do, but Ryan Flournoy of the Cowboys, sixth round, an athletic wideout with a big catch radius. He goes to Dallas, where after CeeDee Lamb, it's an older Brandon Cooks, and then there's not really much else. Jalen Tolbert, he's the one that stepped up in three receiver sets as the year went along last year. Michael Gallup's gone now, so Flournoy could be a true sleeper this season. It's rare that you actually have names where people haven't talked them up a ton throughout the draft process, but Flournoy is somebody that if he can continue to develop his skills a little more, if he can match that with the athleticism he has, we could see him do something in that Cowboys attack. And I mean, I could make cases for some of the UDFA backs as well, like Blake Watson going to the Broncos. He could be the long-term pass-catching option in that backfield if he can stick on the roster and if Jaleel McLaughlin can't come through for them. Or Corey Schrader, he's another 49ers back that you could throw a dart at. Or if you're in a deep superflex or two-quarterback dynasty league and we're just talking about guys that you're getting at the end of your draft or guys that you're picking up off the waiver wire, Michael Pratt, he could be Jordan Love's backup if he can win that job, and we know all the weapons that they have in that offense. You could also look at Devin Leary, who's going to be behind Lamar Jackson and Josh Johnson to start in Baltimore, but Leary could be the immediate backup behind Lamar eventually. Josh Johnson, near the end of his career, he's played for a million different teams. This could finally be his last stop in the NFL, and the list could go on and on here, but I think this is a good rundown just to let you know who I'm targeting late in rookie drafts and who I'm kind of trying to pick up off the waiver wire in some of those more shallow leagues where there's quite a few names still out there that you can get. And now I get to go and watch all my league mates just scoop all these guys up in front of me. They're going to make trades to get one spot ahead of me in those late rounds to pick all these guys up, but that's just commonplace now. There's no worries about that. But that is all for today's show, so make sure you check out my latest rookie rankings and those dynasty trade value charts over at The Score, as well as the 2024 redraft rankings that I spent so much time on the last couple days. I'll be back next week with a bunch of shows, but until then, big thanks for following me on Twitter at Justin Boone. Big thanks everybody out there for listening, and we will see you next time.
Said leave on time, my baby. Said leave on time with me.